So as always, the Torah is an initial suggestion from Rabbi Leib. Big mazel tov to Reb Yitzchak, the birth of a granddaughter this morning. And we look forward to, you can always bring L'chaim next week if you want, and we can celebrate the birth. Otherwise, it's feeling that Shabbos morning, or Chaperaim. But you just mentioned about the three tongues that Avraham Avinu gave to his guests. So Al Sheikh has a beautiful hezbeh in the pasuk. He says, to show us the extent of Avraham Avinu's zrizus, and how pedantic he was about making sure that the mitzvah was performed in the best way, and involving Ishmael as well. So the pasuk says, "Vela bokar rotz Avram." Avraham Avinu ran to the bokar. Vayikach ben bokar rach v'toiv, which Chazal tell us, ben bokar rach v'toiv. Those are the three. Vayiten al anar, and he gave it to the nar, which Rashi tells us is Ishmael. Kedei lechanchei b'mitzvus. Vayimaher la sois oisoi, and he hurried to make it. Vayikach chemo v'cholav ben abokar asher osa. And he took chema, butter, the cholab, and milk, ben abokash also, and the calf that he had made. Vayitin lifneim, and he put it in front of the malachim. Uhu oimid aleim tachas oit vayichel, and he stood over them under the tree, and they ate. So Elshe asks a few pashtakashas here. He says, it says, vayikach, he took ben bokor rach votoiv, vayitin el hanar. What did he give to the nar? His mash, he gave all three? Well, then how does the next bit go? Vayimaher la'as oisoi. Avraham Avinu went, but he only did one. Or did he do all of them? What did he give to Yishmael? What did he do? And then it says, he took chema v'cholov, uben bokar asha'oso, the one that he made. What about the ones that Yishmael made? Vayitin lefneim v'uemidas, and he vayachim. Now we know Rashi says, from the Gemara, that kama kama de tikin, one by one, as Avraham saw things were ready, he amti v'aisi kamayu. He went, he brought it, and he put it in front of, he took it and brought it in front of the malachim. Meaning Avraham Avinu said, oh, this is piping hot, it's fresh, it's straight off the oven, straight out the oven, straight off the stove, serve it. Next thing, fresh off the stove, serve it. He didn't wait till he had the platter. No, let them eat. Each thing should be enjoyed to its full, as it's ready. To that end, says the Al-Sheikh, Avraham Avinu was a zoriz, not just in what he gave and when he gave it, but also in the preparation of it, he hurried to do it. And he says, actually, what happened was like this. This is how you learn the pasuk. Vela bokar rots Avram. To the bokar, and that you can use say is a collective bokar. So the collective bokar Avram ran. Vayikach ben bokar. Avram, you know, was already an old man. Yom Shlishi Lemilasa. Excuse me. There's a limit to what he actually can do. He's going to get three. No. Vayikach, he took ben bokar. Rach votoi vayiten el anar. And the other two, he gave to Yishmael. And he said, listen, you're younger, you're more able, you're more energetic, you get on with those two. But Yishmael wasn't as zoriz as Avram. Vayimaher, he, Avram, was mamaher la'asos oisoi, to do the one that he had taken for himself. The other two, Yishmael was busy with. He was busy with two, not with one. He wasn't as zoriz as Avram. So Avram was finished his before Yishmael came to, before Yishmael was finished with his two. So what's Avram going to do? So he says, well, I've only got enough for one. No problem. Vayikach chema v'cholov. He took chema for the one guy, cholov for the other one. Well, ben bokar asha also, and the ben bokar that he made for the third one. Vayitin ifneim, and he put it in front of them. Vayuchil. So when it says as things were ready, he gave it to them, it means his was ready before Yishmael's were ready. But he can't serve one and the others have nothing. That's why he took vayikach chema for the one, cholov for the other, ben bokar for the other. So it wasn't a problem of basar v'cholav either, which some of the mefarshim ask, how could he give basar v'cholav? No, it was cholav before basar. Was it at the same table? No, don't worry, says the Al-Sheikh, he gave it to each of them independently, and as the others were ready, Ishmael brought in his as well. And that's a bit of the background to that. There is the Chofetz Chaim in the Sefer Avas Chesed says an amazing thing. He brings a medrash, medrash Tanchuma in Parshat Kisete. The Medrash says, "Mikol mishmar natzoli becha," from anything that one can be guarded, one should natzoli becha, guard one's heart. Ki mimenu teitzoi ischaim, because from that can be a productive thing that can come about for a person's life. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, kol ma she'amar lecha b'Torah shemayir, anything that the Torah says, adhere to. She'ena to yodea be'ezer mitzvah tonoi telchaim. Everything that the Torah says, adhere to it, because we never know which is the mitzvah that's actually going to be the one from which we derive our sustenance. There are mitzvahs which have matan schar b'tzida. For example, kibud avayim, shiluach hakein, arichis yomim. There are certain mitzvahs where the matan schar of that is bonim, is children, could go in sora, she ircho es ha'urchim. Sora imenu, who entertain guests. The shunamis, she kiblo es arisha. And the shunamis, who was makabel arisha, entertained arisha as her guest, and then she was zoicha to have a child who would eventually be chabaku ganavi. You will be, and it says that's that the matter says what the Malachi meant when they said when Avram said to them, let me prepare everything for you. So the Medrash says they said to him, yeah, you do like you said you're gonna do, and provide for us to be able to come and eat. And they said, as if to themselves, we don't eat and drink, we're malochim. We don't eat and drink. That was part of the brocha that they silently were saying. Incidentally, this is one of the places from which we learn, Avraham Avinu, according to Rashi, thought these three people were orchim guests the entire time. It's mashmah even at the end, from Rashi, that he thought that he didn't think that they were malachim. And if that's the case, what was the taina on Sarah that she laughed when these random people give her a bracha that she's going to have a child? Sarah Amina was 90 years old. And the answer is, because Altihi Birkas Hadiyat Kalabay Nechad, as Yerushalmi, as far as I remember, says, even a guy who gives a bracha, a person should answer Amin. Because ultimately, the bracha is from the Rabbeinu Shleinah. But it doesn't matter who says it. Whoever said it has been given the inspiration to say it by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why I came to say Amen, because one never knows where the bracha is coming from, and so too over here as well. There's a sefer Me'il Tzedakah that brings a story in Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin. The story in Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin is about Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eleza, Rabbi Shua, and their Talmud Rabbi Kiva. The Gemara first tells a story. It's in the 7th Perek in Perek Zayin, Halacha Yud Gimel. The Gemara first relates a story how they went into a bathhouse, into a merchatz, and there was an apikoros in there, who was also a machashif. And when he saw the three Talmid Chachamim and Gedolei Yisrael coming in, he mumbled some sort of kishuf, and they got schlepped, as the Yerushalmi says, into the kippah, into the dome, above the structure. In those times in Eretz Yisrael, still see today a lot of the Fatsatish old buildings were built with dome roofs, and they got sucked, so to speak, into the dome above the merchatz. They were stuck there, the kishuv of this fellow. So Rabbi Eleza turns to Rabbi Shua, who was Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, and he was the one who always took on the Apikorsim and the philosophers and the wise men of Athens and Chule, Chule. And he says to him, Rabbi Shua, you need to deal with him. Shua, just 1 minute. He sees the guys now thinks he's done away with the Gedolei Yisrael. He's about to walk out the merchatz. Rabbi Shua says something, and he gets stuck to the entranceway of the merchatz. And he's a known apikoros, and it was evident what he had done and what had been done back to him. So each person that walked past gave him a zetz in his heart. And anyone who walked, those were the guys walking in. The guys on the way out gave him a zetz from behind, until eventually he starts begging Rabbi Shua to release him. So Rabbi Shua says, "Look, you release us first, and then we'll release you." So he took away his spell. Rabbi Shua released him from where he was. And then on the way out, Rabbi Shua, as if to give him a little bit of a shtech, said to him, "Guns fine, you've shown us all your chachma." So he says, "You think that's it? Come down with me to the seashore, I'll show you real chachma." So Rabbi Shua says, "Fine," goes down with him to the seashore. Comes to the seashore, he mumbles something, and the sea splits, the water splits. He turns to them, he says, "Sir, see, look, me and Moshe Rabbach, not even Rabbeinu, me and Moshe Rabbach, look, we're the same." So Rabbi Shua says to him, "Yeah, but Moshe Rabbeinu walked in the middle." No? So the fellow walked in the middle. Rabbi Shua was Metzava, the Sar of the Yam, to swallow him up, and that was the end of him. Never saw him again. That's the Yerushalmi. Carries on the Yerushalmi, Noch HaMaisa. The Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Eleza, Rabbi Shua, and Rabbi Kiva were once making a journey into outside Eretz Yisrael, and they were looking for a Yiddish Yishuv. And they came across a few kids who were playing with the mud. They were making mud cakes, and they were taking fistfuls out and making measurements and saying, this is Truma, you know, to sort this would have been Maisa, you know, to sort this would have been Maisa Sheni. And okay, I've obviously come to Yiddish Yeshua, and that's how post Churban the kids would play with mud cakes as if to reimagine and reinvent what would have happened in order that Shalei Tishtach HaTorah Yisrael. Fine, so they don't know that that's a Yiddish Yeshua, they can go in. Sorry, they can go in and ask for something to eat. So they go to a house and they sit down, they ask for something to eat. And the fellow, yeah, no problem, he starts to serve them. So each dish that he brings out, on his way out, he goes into a little room and then he comes out to them. They found it a little strange. What's he doing? Is this some sort of Avodah Zarah? So they asked him, so what are you doing? So he said, I'll tell you, I've got an aged father, a Zokin, father who's a Zokin. He made a neder a few years back. He's not leaving that room until Talmidei Chachamim Klal Yisrael come and he's able to consult with them about something that's bothering him. So they said, well, tell him he should come out because there are Talmidei Chachamim, we are Talmidei Chachamim, he should come out. So these are the manhigim of Klal Yisrael. So he comes out, the old father. He says to them, I made a neder a few years back. My son hasn't got any children. I want to be mishtatef in his tzar, but I also want to understand why. So I made a neder. I'm not going out until Gedolei Yisrael comes. It's the Emunas Chachamim that they had. I'm not going out until that happens. So Rabbi Lezer looks to Rabbi Shua. Maybe there's a machshefa put a spell on them that they understood that that's obviously what it was. So Rabbi Shua says, bring me some seeds of flax. And he spreads them out over the table and they start growing instantly. And he gathers a whole load of the hairs of flax that are growing, pulls them together, starts schlepping until he pulls a machshefa. However, he gets this machshefa there. And he says to her, you know, you better release your spell on this couple. So she says, no, I'm not. She says, well, if you're not going to release your spell from this couple, I'll be mefarsen to everyone who you are, what you do, and what you're up to. Even though it was a covert profession, it was such a despicable thing to be, that even people who were Isaac in it didn't let people know that they were. It's like, you see, by Shaul HaMelech, when he came to the witch there, and she, how do you know who I am? And when she chatted, it was Shaul. It was one kept this under wraps. That what one did, I mean, it was like taboo. Yeah, I'll go upon him. He says, look, I'm going to do that. So she says, well, look, I can't release the spell anyway because the kesha, the thing that I used to create the spell, I've thrown it into the sea. He's not a problem, says Rabbi Shua. He's mitzvah the sar of the yam to spit it out. They go down to the seashore. She takes it. She releases the spell. Says the Gemara, this is the Yerushalmi, they davened and they gave him a bracha, and they had a son. And that son was none other than Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Yehuda ben Beseira. The one in Sanhedrin says Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was actually an enikel of the Bnei Ephraim. His Elta Zeda was one of the Bnei Ephraim that didn't come. He was the one who got up in the base of Medrash and said, Ani bimnei bneihem, I'm an enikel of theirs, ve'elu tfilin, shehiniach li avi abo mehem. These are the tfilin. We now know who the Avi Abba is, by the way. Yeah, the Gemara says, "Ve'ilu tefilin sheiniachi Avi Abba mehen." Who is his grandfather? The one who sat in the room waiting for the Talmid Chachamim to come in order that he should be able to be born. That's who he was. The famous story of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira that Atav in Etzivin and Mitzudas Chaprus Al Yerushalayim when he showed up that the guy who said he gets Karban Pesach every year. This was Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. How did he come about? So the Sefer Milstocker says, "Re'ei koyach mitzvos asiyas chesed ba'achnos asorchim shezochos el ish sheichnisim bebeisay leben godel biyisrael." A devotion to achnos asorchim can bring that about. Sefer also brought down the Sefer Kavayosha brings from a Sefer Yisoid Yosef. He says that there was a person should show a ponim masbiras. A person should show a pleasant face, a shining face, a pleasant face. To lifnei aniim v'dalim v'evyonim v'zeu rotzen abayis baruch. That's the rotzen of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. He says, "Befrat if one is befrat hamaachsein bebeisoy aniim v'dalim hagunim. If a person his hosts in his home aniim and dalim hagunim. Obviously, that he's even here telling us in those days one has to be careful who one takes into one's home. It's not that all right. I've got to do achnos darachim now at the expense of." Charity starts at home, of course, but if one does, then zoicha laharbe bracha. V'harbe noshim akores nifkedu b'schus shekilkelu u'pirnusu aniyim l'shem shamayim. He says, brings a story as well. He says there was an ish Zokin Echad, the Shmai Rabbi Chil. He says, in the times of the Gzeres Ashkenazim, it's not what he means in the times of the Crusades, and he was living in a city on the seashore, and many people fled from Germany to Italy. And he was there, he said, this man was an old person, he was Makabal Aniyim and Ashirim into his house, he gave them food, he lent them money, he gave them Tzedel Aderech, he gave them whatever they needed. And one time, four Zakenim, Chachomim Gedolim from the Golos of Ashkenaz came to his house, and when they saw his benevolence and his pure benevolence of what he was doing and why he was doing it, they asked him, what's your request? What's your request from the Rabbi Ra'ilam? So he said, Bakoshosi Shiyetim Mimeni Ben Chocham Haloimid Heitev Torah. I'd like to have a son who's going to learn Torah well. So they said, Betach Ba Hashem. About it, you've got to have Betachon as well. Sheyetze ben mechalatecha sheyischakim ma'od b'Torah, and you'll call his name Avram, to as a siman that you've done chesed with the Zera Avram. You've done like Avram with the Zera Avram. And Taka, he was zeichet to a child. He says, Rabbi Avram Mifez, who was v'higdum b'Torah ma'od v'chibe chiburim harbe. There's other stories that are brought throughout the time. So this is a tremendous mitzvah. A mitzvah which is when done with Torah Aleiv, like the Chofetz Chaim says, can bring potentially a lot of bracha to a person. Towards later on in the parasha, you have the whole story there with Avimelech. Very interesting story. Avimelech, he kidnapped Sarah, and similar thing to what happened with Paro. But there's a distinct difference in what happens when Avram is re-engaged by the monarch. When it came to Paro, Paro is like, got all these tainus on him. Why did you do what you do? Avram just says, because there's no because you don't ask a person if it's his wife or his sister, because and I was scared you were going to kill me. And I told her to do this. Okay, and that's it. No hesber, no questions, no answers. But here, it comes to Avimelech. Avimelech says to him, why did you do what you did? So Avram says, because there's no Yiras Hashem in this place. And you ask me whether I need food? You ask me about who this person, if it's my wife or my sister. So, but I also want you to know that actually, I could call her my sister, because she's my niece. And B'nai Banim Arim Kebanim. And he's got a whole shtickle Torah to explain why what he's saying is emes. Well, and Paro didn't deserve that shtickle Torah. Avimelech deserves it, Paro doesn't deserve it. Seems to be that what one has to know, that when one's, we often get asked questions. Are those questions answers, or are they questions? Avraham Avinu understood that Paro wasn't interested in an answer. He was interested in self-justification. This, you're the Schlechter here. You're the one who told me that it's all your fault and it's all that. Whereas Avimelech must have come with a way that which was a little bit more, of course he was blaming it on Avram, but he was inquisitive. He wanted to know, like, come on, it's not expected of someone like you. He was also, Paro came from Mitzrayim, and he said he self-accused the Mitzrayim of being Shtufei Zimah, and that's why he told Avram, don't stick around there and get lost, and otherwise you're going to be in trouble over here. Mashiach and Avimelech said, wherever you want, you can stay in my land. So we're talking about a different culture of people and a different stature of monarchy. But in the end of the day, Avraham Avinu realized that he was prepared to listen. And because Avimelech was prepared to listen, so okay, if he's prepared to listen, then I can engage, I can talk to him. There's something that I can say. Rav Shalom Shvadron once, one week when he was explaining this whole answer of Avraham Avinu, and Avraham says, listen, you know, the sib I said what I said was because there's no Yiras Hashem in this place. If there would be Yiras Hashem in this place, then it would be all different. You see, Rav Shalom Shvadron said he remembered reading a story about Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz. This story is said in different versions, but this is the way that Rav Shalom Shvadron said it over. This is the way that he saw it when he was a child. He said that Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz was known, he was the Rav of Prague, and he frequented the royal court, the royal palace. And there was a philosopher who had to do with the king, and he tainted that you can condition, train, and animals to be exactly like human beings. You can do it. Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz said, "Shlusim." You know, instinct is instinct. And if you haven't got das and you haven't got seichel, then the instinct is always going to be the one that's going to prevail. So he said, no, you know what? Give me time. And he went for a year. He went undercover. After a year, he comes back to the king. He says, I want to prove my case, but I want it to be, it's got to be a banquet. I want a royal banquet. And at that royal banquet, I'm going to show the Herr Rabbina of Prague that I'm right. This is how it works. Okay. Right here, Yom, they come and you've got a full royal banquet. Everyone's sitting there. Irenis Nebuchadnezzar was at home learning. He was sitting at home learning, and he had his tabak box open there in front of him whilst he was learning to keep, I suppose, you know, the amount of hours that he learned to keep himself awake. So, and suddenly, it was time to go. And in those last few seconds, a mouse had jumped inside his tabak box. He was in such a rush, he just closed the tabak box, put it into his, with the mouse inside, put it into his kapata, and off he went to the royal banquet. He arrives at the royal banquet, he's given his designated seat. And then, after people began to already feel really good about themselves, now comes the opportunity. This philosopher is going to once and for all show up. The Rav, Rabbi Yonasan has never been proved wrong. So finally, it's come his time. And suddenly, a door opens. In walks a cat, walking on 2 feet, fully dressed in waiter's gear, holding a platter on his paw. And he's going around and he's serving table after table after table. And you can imagine the orchestra strikes up and the people are standing and they're watching. Rabbi Yonasan Abishitz chaps that this has been the tachbula now, and this is why he's been invited to this banquet. And he starts to sit there and think what's going to be his response. Think to daven. And in his deep, deep thought and concentration, he must have flicked open his tabak box. And as soon as he'd done that, the mouse pegged it across the table. It didn't take a second for the cat to see there was a mouse. It dropped everything, filthied the guests around the table that it had been serving, and jumped on the table, zooming after this mouse, filthing all the guests who were around that table. Rabbi Yonasan didn't need to prove anything more. It was very clear there, you can condition your animal as much as you want and get it, but instinct is instinct. So it said, Rav Shlomo Shvadron, that's what Avraham Avinu was telling Avimelech. You know, you could be very cultural over here, and you could have worked your people up, their manners and etiquette. In the end of the day, if there's no Yirah Shemaim, then when it comes to it, what's going to hold them back? If there's no Iraq, you've conditioned them. A guest comes to town, you must ask them if they have where to stay, and you must ask them if they've got food. Yeah, but you know what? Suddenly, an extremely beautiful woman's shown up, which they've not seen before. If they ain't got Yirah Shemaim, then instinct kicks back in, and they suddenly ask, forgot, sorry, we should have asked you something else. Too late, because there's no Yirah Shemaim, that's what happens. That's how Rav Shlomo Shvadron wanted to explain that part of what happened in the parasha. There's later on in the parasha, we have the parasha of the Akedah, famous parasha of the Akedah, the Nisoyan of Avraham Avinu. Vayisoino vayar vine ail achar nechaz basvach bekarno vayirech Avraham ayikach es vayila vayila tachas v'noi. The Yalkut Shimoni describes all the different impediments that the Satan put in the way of Avraham Avinu to try and impede him from getting to the Akedah. He made himself into a huge thing of water. That's one of the reasons we go to Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah. He tried all different tachbulas. He came as a person, was asking what, telling him he was mishugah for going, and he tried everything. Even something with the aisle was there to try and stop him. The aisle was running around; it was causing confusion. So Ramir Shapiro said he asked. I mean, the question is asked when Avraham Avinu saw that this aisle says the pasuk says. That he saw the aisle and he took the aisle by he instantly saw the aisle. Oh, that aisle must be for instead of my son. Maybe the aisle there is a part of his next ploy of the Satan to just dray you off track from what you're meant to be doing. What made Avraham Avinu chap that this aisle was meant to be tachas b'nai?
This is after Hashem has spoken to him, isn't it?
Yeah, but now it could be that this, he's still in the middle. What made Avraham Avinu go suddenly and say, the aisle, that must be tachas b'nai? Everything else that came along the way, Yuchat, this is the Satan. How did Avraham Avinu know this wasn't another tachbula of the Satan to distract him from the maimed that he was involved in, to distract him from his connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ramir Shapiro said, because when he saw him getting caught by Svach, the animal was evidently trying to get to him, and he kept getting tangled by Svach, he realized that that's the Satan stopping it coming to me. If it wasn't that the aisle was trying to get to him, but he kept getting caught by Svach. In the other places, there was something there stopping him going ahead. Okay, that's a Ma'aseh Satan. But over here, there was something stopping the ayil. Well, then the ayil is not the sotan. The thing that's stopping the ayil, that's the mitzvah sotan. He says, and that's what happens. The sotan tries to do that to us a lot often when we try to do mitzvahs. He tries to get in our way, and he tries to make things, hurdles that are there to stop us getting ahead with the mitzvah. We have to realize it's the mitzvah sotan, and beyond that is really Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's sometimes a little bit of a mitzvah sotan. We can get through that, we'll be matzliach. The lashon of the pasuk is where there was an ayil achar nechaz basvach bekarno. It's an interesting lashon. I don't know any other way to explain it. It's a lashon pele. What did Avraham Avinu see? Vayisa Avraham is eino vayar v'hinei ayil achar nechaz basvach bekarno. It's like there was another ayil achar, another ayil nechaz basvach. There was Shamshon Astropoli. Says that Avraham Avinu saw over here that there was something else. There was something, another achar. There was another animal, another baal chai, that was nechaz basvach, that was holding on to. There was an ayil achar nechaz basvach that was holding on to the svach, but not the svach, the achar, after what was nechaz basvach. He says, if you take the word svach, samach beis chof, what are the letters that are after samach, the achar of samach beis chof? After a samach is an ayin, after a beis, a bas svach, after a beis is a gimel, and after a chof is a lamed, egel. He saw in the future, there was something that was going to be nechaz in Klal Yisrael and be mesabech Klal Yisrael and be a hindrance to Klal Yisrael, a stumbling block for Klal Yisrael. There's something in the future in the achar that's nechaz vasvach that's there. What is that? That's the eagle. And he realized that that's going to be there to bring Klal Yisrael down and potentially could bring to the whole annihilation of Klal Yisrael. He says the svach, if you divide svach into two, half of samach is a lamed, half of base is an aleph, and half of chof is a yud. There's letters of ayil. So this ayil is going to help to minimize the svach, that thing that they're going to be caught in, the egel in future years, the achar basvach. How? He says, because HaKadosh, Avraham Avinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he called the place Hashem Yireh. Why did he call it Hashem Yireh? Asher Yireh Omer Hayoim, that whenever Klal Yisrael, on any day which will be Hayoim, in the future of Klal Yisrael, they'll say, Behar Hashem Yireh, don't forget the Akedah. I mean, there's going to come a time in the future of Klal Yisrael when the Rabbeinu Shalom want to annihilate them. And we're going to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on whatever day it will be that we'll say it. Don't forget the offer of Yitzchak. It's in front of you. The Efer of Yitzchak, the offer of Yitzchak. And remember that for Klal Yisrael. He says that was the Ayil Achar. There's another Baal Chai. Nechaz Basvach. It's Achar Nechaz Basvach. That's being held there to impede Klal Yisrael in the Achar of Svach. The letters that follow Svach, which are the letters of the eagle. Avraham Avinu says, this ayil is what's going to save Klal Yisrael in the future. The famous question that's asked, Chazal said, Afresh and Yitzchak is part of the tefillah that we say before Tekiyat Shofar. We talk about the Efer or the offer of Yitzchak is Munach in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak had no offer. He wasn't killed. He suddenly wasn't offered up as a korban and cremated. So what's the afrei shel Yitzchak? So there's a fascinating Or HaChaim HaKadosh. He brings from earlier Makoros that, and it's based also on a Tanad video, I think, or Pirkei Rabbeinu, I've forgotten which one it is, that actually Yitzchak's neshama left him at the Akedah, and then it came back. The lashon of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is that his nefesh left him. You know, every person has a nefesh, a unique nefesh of our own senses and feelings. There's also a part of it is the nefesh abahami, the instinct of a human being. That every person's nefesh comes from a different place. A male nefesh comes from where the male nefesh has come from, and a female's comes from where a female's nefesh come from. And it can sometimes happen that a male ends up with a nefesh misitra denukva, and vice versa. And he says that's what happened here to Yitzchak Avinu. He actually had a nefesh misitra denukva of a female origin. And therefore, he wouldn't have been able to have children. Sorry? Yeah? Wouldn't have been able to have children. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? That nefesh left him and went into the ayil. And the nefesh abami of the ayil went into Yitzchak. So that he now had that component of a zachar that he could be moiled. Resulting from the akedah, he actually was able to have children. And that's why now he's told about Rivka. Straight afterwards, because now it's relevant. Till then it wasn't relevant. Anyway, wouldn't have been able to father children. So in essence, a part of that ayil that was then shechted and burnt has a chilek of Yitzchok inside it. And that's what Chazal mean. Afre shel Yitzchok, tovu remunach lefonai. It's offer of Yitzchok, because there has a component of Yitzchok that's tovu remunach lefonai over there in front of the Rebbeinu Shemin. That's a zchus that we daven for weekly, daily, that the zchus of the Akedah should stand for the zchus of Mesiris Nefesh, which has been there throughout the Doros. People ask, there were people that used to ask, what was the big deal of the, throughout the Doros, people ask, what was the big deal of the Akedah? The Yitzchok was prepared to give up his life, Avraham was prepared to give up his son's life. Loads of people have done it through the Doros. And the answer, the basic answer is that actually the koyach to do that came from Avraham and Yitzchok. Koyach and Mesiris Nefesh, and that's why they're called the Avos. They were these hugely powerful neshamas that the Rabbeinu Shlom put into the world back then. And those extremely powerful neshamas, which contained within them many other neshamas, that of Klal Yisrael, have, so to speak, delivered in the DNA of Klal Yisrael the ability to be Mesir Nefesh. That's why the Chaim Belajan says, that's why Avraham Avinu is called Avraham Avinu. And when it talks about the Asara Nisyonis in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah before says Asara Doros Minoyach Vad Avraham. It doesn't call him Avraham Avinu. When it talks about the Nisyonis, that's when it calls him Avraham Avinu. Because every Nisyon that a person goes through, one bequeaths those koichas to one's descendants, and the ability to do it. So one of the Rabbi Yehuda Chosid writes, if a person is in a matzav of in any particular Nisyon and prevails, they shouldn't pat themselves on the back too much and say, oh, look what I did. He said, they should know that that koich came to them because somewhere in a previous day they had an Elter Zedah, an Elter Bubba, that had a similar Nisoyan and prevailed and davened after that Nisoyan. If my ever have any of my Enikas should ever have this type of Nisoyan, give them Siyata Dishmaya to also be successful. So two amazing things that are in that. First of all, that we should know the power of what we received from previous Doros. And secondly, you know, it just reminds me of Shver Zichtar, I've said that once people used to come into Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. It was a Ukrainian, he came from Ukraine, I think he was from Kiev. Whenever people came in, he used to ask them, what's Machdin? And when he heard that a lot of people were being Chayzer B'Tshuva, he said, yeah, the Tullis of the Babas and the Zaydas will all work eventually to come down to future Doros. But it's also for us to know, if we're ever Matzliach in Nisayon, or when we're Matzliach in Nisayon, Be'ez Hashem, use that opportunity to daven for future Doros, that they should also have that Atzlacha.